This is Eric.
This is Marie.
And this is Phil.
And you're listening to the Rock 5 Podcast.
On this episode, we feature music from Emmaus Road,
the latest on Planned Parenthood's shady dealings in Aurora and elsewhere,
all that and much more on this episode of the Rock for Life Podcast.
Here I am once again, my God, wanting more of you in my life, seeking truth and all that I should know about the one who truly loves me. And once again you find something to say, to touch my
Hey, this is Eric Whittington, Executive Director of Youth Outreach here at American Life League and Director of Rock for Life, and I am in studio with Marie Hannenberg.
Hey, Eric.
Researcher with STOP International, the Anti-Planned Parenthood Project of the American Life League.
That's right.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome. Doing great myself. Thanks for asking. You're and welcome. Also in studio is Phil Eddy.
Good morning.
You've just heard Fall in Love by Emmaus Road from their latest LP, 7 Mile Journey.
All right, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you have any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or you want to write us and get your questions answered, email us at podcast@rockforlife.org or call us at 866-552-3368, and we may play your voicemail on the air. So last week on the Rock 5 podcast, we had informed you guys of a youth rally coming up. You know, just a brief background, Planned Parenthood has been a little sneaky, and they're building an abortion facility in Aurora. And once the community found out, they, you know, got together and started doing a lot of prayer and pro-life visibility. Well, the youth rally went over as a huge success. Over 700 young people showed up. And a great testimony to what you can do as a young person to get involved. You have a voice and make yourself heard. So let's. What's the latest on Aurora? I just gave a little brief thing, and last week we talked about it. But what's the latest?
The city council had a meeting, and it was swamped with hundreds of pro-life and pro-abortion speakers and demonstrators. Inside, things went pretty heated because right off the bat, they decided that they didn't want to have the meeting go till 2 a.m. like it had last time. So they were going to limit the comments to 3 hours, which worked out in favor of the pro-lifers because that meant that only local people would be allowed to speak. And being as most of the community is obviously against Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
It was beneficial to the pro-life side. Also, big news from the city council, they told Planned Parenthood that they shouldn't anticipate opening up on September 18th, which is the day that they would supposed to be getting a new occupancy permit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right now they have a temporary one, and the city, before granting their new one, was going to do a full investigation to find out if they had in fact been deceived by Planned Parenthood into allowing the clinic to be built. Right now, the mayor says that there is no time frame, although he did flip-flop this week, but thanks to the diligence of bloggers.
That's right.
Yeah, the bloggers picked this story up, and at the previous meeting, he had said that they were going to make sure that Planned Parenthood was investigated fully and that there would be no time frame. But in a letter he sent to several members of the council, he told them that he wanted a September 12th deadline. Well, the bloggers picked that up, and he was alerted to the fact that they were angry and that the people were disappointed that he would say one thing at one event and then say another thing in correspondence. So he decided last night that he would criticize the bloggers for making it known, but also, alert Planned Parenthood that there would be a full investigation with no time limit. And also, several bloggers have been reporting that Planned Parenthood literally bussed their employees from Chicago out to the event. There were some pro-lifers outside, but most of them were inside where they were actually going to be able to make a difference with the city council.
But it also sounded that Steve Trombley, didn't he say something about requesting Planned Parenthood supporters to come out and stand there, especially when, what, ABC and NBC were out there?
Yeah, look good for the cameras. Steve Trombley is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Chicago area. And for somebody who makes $300,000 a year from Planned Parenthood, you would think that he would put up a little bit more than a fight than just stand outside with a sign.
Right.
While pro-lifers are inside tearing him up and the work that he's done the past week, you would think that he would have done more. In fact, about a week ago, he sent a letter to the city council explaining to them why they deceived the town. And he didn't say that they deceived, but why they needed to hide the fact that they were, in fact, opening an abortion clinic at the site of the development. He basically said that it was because the pro-lifers were all violent extremists and that they would have blown the clinic up. Eric Scheidler's attorney from the Thomas More Law Society sent a letter to Planned Parenthood of Chicago area explaining to them that if they didn't rescind their libelous and malicious statements, legal action would be taken. Planned Parenthood responded by putting out a full-page ad in local newspapers. You want to talk about that,
Sure,
Marie?
Sure, that'd be great. On Monday, September 10th, Planned Parenthood took out a full-page ad in the Beacon News. And the title is, "Don't Let the Extremists Deny Vital Healthcare to the People of Aurora." And on this ad, it includes Joe Scheidler and his Pro-Life Action League have a well-documented history of advocating violence against both persons and properties, as well as other related criminal activity. And then they mentioned something about 121 cases of violence. Phil, I'm pretty sure they left out a lot more information about this. This is not true.
Yeah, what they did is they said that a Chicago area jury convicted, essentially, Joe Scheidler and the Pro-Life Action League of 121 cases of violence against abortion providers and people going into the clinics and the clinics themselves. Not only is this untrue, this is deeply untrue. I mean, if you can say this, the Supreme Court twice has overturned the lower court's decision. And even then, what the lower court said is not that there was 121 cases of violence. What they found is that all but four were instances of civil disobedience in the line of Martin Luther King Jr., who Joe Scheidler had marched with back in the 60s. And then World Magazine several years ago did an expose where they took the other four instances that the jury said could possibly be instances of physical violence and discredited all of them, finding out that witnesses had been paid. In fact, one woman who had accused the pro-lifers of assaulting her and doing all these horrible things to her, video was found of that protest, and it found that she was the one who was beating people up. And Planned Parenthood knows the facts of this, but the very fact that they would continue to try to deceive people on that shows their character.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to add that there's a website called abortionviolence.com, and it's a website where Human Life International has documented more than 7,000 acts of violence and illegal activities by pro-abortionists. So just not only do they support the killing of preborn human beings, but also just check out this website, abortionviolence.com.
Mm-hmm. Another example of the violence that actually is on the pro-abortion side was on, you can look up in one of Eric Scheidler's websites. Not only did we learn about two pro-abortion advocates, they were arrested for kicking memorial crosses and shoving a prayer volunteer, but Eric also describes that a 17-year-old girl was shot in the arm by a pellet. And this pellet came from a BB gun by someone who was driving by in an SUV. The driver passed by once shouting obscenities, then drove by again and fired at the girl.
This is ridiculous. If a pro-lifer even has a gun anywhere near them while they're at a protest, it's going to be over national news.
Right.
But somebody gets shot at the clinic and there's nothing about it.
Right. The 17-year-old girl was praying there and being all peaceful, and they have violence like this happening to them. And you're exactly right. Where is the national coverage on this?
Mm-hmm. And Planned Parenthood is implying that the pro-lifers are the violent ones here, using deceptive language, when in reality, you look at the cold hard facts, the pro-lifers have been completely nonviolent and peaceful during this whole time, and the pro-aborts are the ones that are being violent.
Well, one thing I want to bring into the mix is the racism factor. We talked a little bit about it last week with the Planned Parenthood facility being built in Portland in a predominantly African-American community and right next to an Islamic prayer center. The issue in Aurora is that Aurora is having an increasingly Hispanic population growing.
Approximately one-third of the population.
And growing. Mm-hmm. And I think this is key with possibly the community outrage because, Phil, you dug up a poll about Hispanic immigrants opposing abortion. Tell the listeners mm-hmm. a little bit about the poll.
Yeah, it was a D.C. area Hispanic political organization that did a poll of Hispanic immigrants in the U.S. And what they found was that 83% were pro-life. 83%. That's the most pro-life.
Or 83% opposed all or most abortions.
Yeah.
So with...
And that includes almost all who claim to be conservative and a vast majority of those who claim to be liberal.
Correct. So I think with the Hispanic population growing in Aurora, we have an untapped resource, possibly, mm-hmm. To even bring out more community outrage against Planned Parenthood and their anti-life and pro sexual immorality mm-hmm. message.
And also, you mentioned Portland, Oregon earlier. I want to actually congratulate all those pro-lifers out there. We heard about news that happened out in Portland, Oregon, where Planned Parenthood is planning these events called Sexy Tuesdays.
Jeez.
You can tell some middle-aged woman came up with that.
Sexy Tuesdays, and I'm sure you can use your imagination on what Planned Parenthood has behind those types of events. But basically, they're saying, oh, it's to bring people together to socialize and learn more about Planned Parenthood. And they hold these events at bars. And we learned that some pro-lifers began demonstrating outside these neighborhood bars that were scheduled to host an upcoming Planned Parenthood event. And the owners of this, there's two of them, two different events that took place here. And both times the owners came out and were asking, why are you out here? You know, why are you protesting? And they told them, well, you know, we're protesting a Planned Parenthood event that's going to be held here. And both times, the owners canceled those events.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So what we want to, first of all, congratulate all those that had that idea to go and protest ahead of time instead of protesting the night of a Planned Parenthood event. Once Planned Parenthood starts announcing that they're going to be in certain places, once you hear about it, you should head over there and protest ahead of time because then the owners are going to be, you know, well, I don't want this for my business. And they see that people aren't going to be happy and they're going to cancel the Planned Parenthood event. So keep up the good work. And if you come up with any ideas like that, contact us and we'll help you out.
What I've noticed is that Planned Parenthood is hosting a lot of these meetups or socializing events at bars lately. And one reason why I know that personally is that I get on a lot of Planned Parenthood email lists. So wherever you're at, find out your local Planned Parenthood, you know, email list and get on it and find out about these events at bars. And when you find out, definitely do some pro-life visibility and response in return. But at last year's Training and Activism Weekend, we found out about an event after the March for Life, I believe, Phil, right?
We found out about it a few days beforehand. It was occurring the night following the March for Life. And we had already anticipated being up at the Supreme Court for the Silent No More vigil. What we do every year is we go there and we listen to the women speak, give their testimonies about their abortions. And when the pro-abortion crowd shows up and tries to disrupt it, we will block them physically, which is always a lot of fun. But the bar turned out to be a few blocks away. Now, who in their right mind would schedule a pro-abortion fundraiser at a bar near where hordes of pro-lifers are going to be gathered? It just is
Planned
not
Parenthood
feasible.
Would.
Exactly. Exactly. And so a group of us broke away and we walked over there and we protested. And we had a group of the kids from Youth Defense from Ireland who came and they loved it. They enjoyed it thoroughly. They wrapped themselves in an Irish flag and went on in.
So let's hit up some more tunes. Again, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, write us at podcast@rockflap.org or call our voicemail 866-552-3368. Right now, we're going to listen to some more Emmaus Road, the featured band of this episode with It Amazes Me, right here on the Rock for Life podcast.
I see the evidence.
of your power and beauty, it amazes me. When I hear the rolling thunder and feel the earth tremble, I know you are.
Conley from Prosper, Washington. I just wanted to let you know that I am planning a pro-life march for September 20th at the Prosper High School for 3 o'clock p.m. My phone number is 303-0974. I would really appreciate it if you did call, if you called after 7. I chose the 20th because it's the 7th anniversary of the legalization of partial birth abortion in 2000, and I just hope that anybody who's in the area will show up. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Callie Armstrong from Northern Right to Life at Northern Kentucky University in Highlands Heights, Kentucky. On October 11, 2007, Northern Right to Life will be hosting their second annual North Nightmare event, a talent extravaganza plus a comedy show slash open mic night at Northern Kentucky University in Highland Heights, Kentucky, from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Half of all proceeds go to CareNet Pregnancy Center of Northern Kentucky, and costumes are welcome, and a costume contest will be held, as well as a door prize given out. Admission is $5, and doors open at 7 p.m. in the University Center Ballroom. If you have any questions, please call Callie at 859-835-0541, or you can email our organization at northernrighttolife@gmail.com. All are welcome, so please come support our great cause.
You're listening to the Rock for Life podcast. Email us at podcast@rockforlife.org or call us and leave a voicemail at 866-552-3368.
All right, we're going to answer some letters that we've received from you guys. The first one, Phil, I'm going to pose to you. This one is from Craig and Sandy, and they are from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be doing anything in the Western New York area? We have a huge need here.
There is a training seminar in the afternoon in Albany, New York. You can find more information on our website.
So I would say that if you want to bring us out to speak at, you know, for your young people, or organize a training and activism day, or even organize a show and we'll come and speak at it, just email us at podcast@rockforlife or call us at 866-552-3368. Leslie from Chicago, do you guys have a MySpace page for Rock for Life? We have a MySpace for the podcast episodes, which is myspace.com/rockforlifepodcast. And there, not only can you listen to this episode and our previous episodes, but you can add them as your profile song and help us spread the message. So, Phil, yes, I know you think these are lame questions, but I think they're very informative for our listeners.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, that's the whole
point. Unless they're stupid questions. If you can find the answer online easily, very easily.
Read the website, man. Yeah, I mean,
geez.
No, I think you're incorrect, though, because last week's Rock Life report, we asked, according to the latest poll, how many Hispanic immigrants are pro-life? And you didn't think people would answer that one, but we had a lot of people answering that one correctly. So that was a hard one to answer, but it was answered successfully. So
they can answer that one, and they can't find the Rock for Life MySpace.
Oh, my gosh. Edit that, please. Rock for Life!
I want to be the cranky one. Marie can be the happy one, and Eric can be the...
The voice of the voice of sanity. That is my voice. Okay, well, there are lots of events coming up. We have the Rock for Life Ventura County is putting on a show on September 28th. Their MySpace is myspace.com/rockforlifevc. Down here is headlining that show. On the 29th, there's a tentative block party held in the Denver area to spread the word about Planned Parenthood coming into the community and spreading their anti-life, pro-sexual immorality philosophy. Also, we have the 40 Days for Life, which is September 26th through November 4th. That is 40 days of prayer and fasting at abortion facilities or in the privacy of your own home.
Everyone get involved.
September 26th through November 4th.
And check out the website, 40daysforlife.com.
Check out the locations tab. You can find the nearest one to you. And if there's not one in your town, maybe you can help the closest one.
That's right. Last night you were at a meeting.
Yes, I went up to D.C.
And supposedly there's one going to happen in the D.C. area.
There are going to be several in the D.C. Baltimore area. But yes, there's one in within D.C. And the clinic that they're going to do their 40-day vigil at is about three blocks from the White House.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That is cool. And there's also some activity in Richmond as well. Mm-hmm. And Charlottesville, which mm-hmm. I will be
and speaking. Falls Church.
Falls Church. The one in Charlottesville, I will be speaking at a midpoint rally. So also, Pro-Life Memorial Day is October 1st. That is a day that we are asking people to pray for an end to abortion, memorialize the victims of abortion, pray at your schools, at Planned Parenthood abortion facilities, and also state and federal government locations.
And check out the website. It's updated now.
We have a new website up,
that's
yes.
That's right.
And that website is?
www.prolifememorialday.com.
Very good.
Good job, you two.
All right. And also, what else is going on? Life Change Sunday, October 7th. This is a day where people all across the country will be holding signs at busy intersections and praying for an end to abortion, 2:30 to 3:30 their local time. Check out nationallifechain.org for more information.
And definitely participate in this. It's a real easy event. It's non-confrontational. You just stand there, hold a sign. So if you can stand
and pray.
Yeah. Or you just have to stand there and watch cars. It's so easy. It's really easy.
You can
There's
pray too.
No excuse not to do it.
Yeah. There is no excuse. Yeah. Absolutely.
Unless, like, you can't stand. But even then, you can sit.
Right.
That's yeah. right.
So, yep. Again, sort of like the 40 Days for Life, there are locations all across the country where people will be participating in this. They've been doing it for years. And, again, go to the website nationallifechain.org to find out if there's a location near you. And if there's not, start one up.
Thanks for tuning into the Rock for Life podcast, episode 10. Music on this podcast is from Emmaus Road from their latest CD, 7 Mile Journey. Remember, the Rock for Life podcast is made available because of the generous donations by you, our listeners. Donate online at www.rockforlife.org.
Lord, I want more of you. Living water. Living breath of life, come fill me.
Rock for Life is a project of American Life League. Pro-life without exceptions.
Without compromise.